committee meeting for May 13th. Anna, do you have any front-end language you'd like to go over?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and everyone else on the call. Before I begin with the roll call, as always, I appreciate your attention, allowing me to go through a few housekeeping items to ensure that we have a clear meeting record. And first is to please be advised that Watermaster continues to monitor the CDC's guidelines related to the pandemic. And presently under the guidelines, we can host in-person meetings for up to 10 people socially distanced at 6 feet apart. We will continue to actively monitor and host larger meetings once the CDC advises that it is safer to do so. With that out of the way, please remember that this is an official meeting of the appropriative pool and it's being recorded. We ask that you please observe all meeting decorum as though the meeting were being held in person at Watermaster. Remember to keep your lines on mute unless you're speaking. Mute it again when you're done. It's helpful if you announce your name before speaking for the record. This is especially important for those making a motion or a second. I will be taking attendance using the roll call, which I will conduct in a moment, and also using the names as shown on the Zoom dashboard. If your name does not appear at either location and you would like to be noted in the minutes, please email me. When it's time for confidential session, staff will pause the recording and disconnect from this Zoom meeting line. All members should have a separate access for confidential session as provided for by pool leadership. After confidential session, the original Zoom link that you see and phone number at the top of your agenda will be turned back on. We ask that you allow us a few minutes to send an email to all stakeholders to notify them when the meeting is back in open session, should they wish to rejoin. And with that, we always appreciate your support as we need to host meetings remotely. And I will go ahead and proceed with the roll call. Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water Company. CalMet Company. City of Chino.
Dave Cross.
Thanks, Dave. City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig.
City of Fontana. City of Norco. City of Ontario.
Scott Burton.
City of Pomona.
Chris Diggs.
City of Upland.
Steve Ledbetter.
County of San Bernardino. Cucamonga Valley Water District.
John Bosler.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Josh Swift.
Fontana Water Company.
Eric Durango.
Golden State Water Company. Harupa Community Services District.
Chris Birch.
Marigold Mutual Water Company. Monta Vista Irrigation Company.
Justin Scott Coe.
Monta Vista Water District.
Justin Scott Coe.
NCL Company. Niagara Bottling. Nicholson Family Trust.
Josh Swift.
San Antonio Water Company.
Ryan Lee.
Santa Ana River Water Company.
John Lopez.
West End Consolidated Water Company.
Steve Ledbetter.
West Valley Water District. Okay, we do have a quorum, Mr. Chairman. Please proceed when you're ready.
Okay, thank you, Anna. I see we have 46 participants on this call today. It's we're getting popular. Okay, let's go to the agenda. Any additions or reorder of the agenda from staff?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Appropriative Pool Committee. We have no additions or reorder to the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Any from the pool? Okay, hearing none. Our first item is the consent calendar. Do I have any discussion or on the consent calendar or a motion to approve?
Montavista. Chino Hills moves approval. Ron Craig.
Justin Chris Diggs will second.
Sorry, Justin. I didn't hear the second. I think I
beat Justin to the punch.
Okay, so Chris Diggs second. Ron Craig first. Any discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none. Anna, can we do a vote on this?
Absolutely. So this is roll call vote for the consent calendar items 1A through 1E. Let's see, Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water Company, CalMat Company, City of Chino Hills.
Yes.
City of Chino.
Yes.
Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Yes.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Yes.
Fontana Water Company.
Yes.
City of Fontana. Golden State Water Company. Harupa Community Services District.
Yes.
Marigold Mutual Water Company. Monta Vista Irrigation.
Yes.
Monta Vista Water District.
Yes.
NCL Company. Niagara Bottling. Nicholson Family Trust. Josh Swift, are you still on for Nicholson Family Trust?
Yes, sorry. Yes.
Thank you. City of Norco? City of Ontario?
Yes.
City of Pomona?
Yes.
San Antonio Water Company?
Yes.
County of San Bernardino? Santa Ana River Water Company?
Yes.
City of Upland?
Yes.
West End Consolidated Water Company?
Yes.
And West Valley Water District. Okay. The item passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. We'll move on to the business items. A, First Amendment to Task Order Number 9.
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, members of the Appropriative Pool Committee. Justin Nakano and Joel Ignacio have a presentation for you related to this item.
Hello, Mr. Chair. This is Justin Nakano. Let me just check to see if Joel is on from IUA.
Good morning. This is Joel. Yes. Did you? I'm sorry. Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, and members of the committee. I'm Joel Ignacio with the Inland Empire Utilities Agency. In collaboration with Watermaster, IUA supports implementation of capital improvements for the Chino Basin groundwater system. I am IUA's project manager for these capital projects, specifically the 2013 RMPU projects. Next slide, please. The 2013 Recharge Master Plan Update, or RMPU program, is a series of recharge improvements implemented in partnership with Chino Basin Water Master, San Bernardino County Flood Control District, Chino Basin Water Conservation District, and IUA. The RMPU's goal is to enhance the region's groundwater recharge facilities by capturing nearly 4,700 acre feet per year of additional stormwater and providing groundwater storage to up to 7,100 acre feet of more recycled water. The 2013 RMPU consists of five capital projects, which addresses improvements to seven recharge basins. Currently, the San Sebastian Basin and Victoria Basin improvements are fully completed. The Lower Day improvement is nearing completion. The Montclair Basin is waiting for final permitting before bidding. And lastly, the Wineville-Harupa RP3 Force Main Project, which we call 23A, is prepared for construction. Next slide, please. briefly, the 23A addresses the following improvements: modifying the Wineville Basin into a recharge facility by adding control gates and a rubber dam system, a pump station and conveyance system running between Wineville and Hurupa to divert additional stormwater from Wineville over to RP3 through existing Hurupa pump systems, a construction of a larger diversion structure at the Sansevieria channel to increase stormwater capture into Hurupa, the expansion of the Hurupa pumping system to meet increased stormwater intake into Hurupa, and lastly, the expansion of the RP3 basin system to meet increased flows of stormwater and recycled water for groundwater recharge. The expected stormwater and recycled water benefits for the combined improvements under 23A project is 2,900 acre feet annually for stormwater and the same for recycled water. As mentioned, the 23A is prepared for construction after nearly 1.5 years in waiting for permit approvals. Next slide, please. On July 11th, 2021, IUA released an invitation to bids to 8 pre-qualified bidders. On April 8th, 6 bids were received for MNR construction. It was the lowest bidder with a bid price of $15,480,880. Bids range from this mentioned lowest to the high of $24.9 million. And the 3 lowest bidders were near each other by 3%. The lowest bidder, MNR Construction, is above the engineer's estimate of $11,498,545. As reported by IHS Markets and other analysts, many steel products are up 50 to 100% since late summer of 2020, with the bulk of the increases occurring in November and December of 2020. Sheet prices in the United States have more than doubled since mid-2020. And the COVID-19 pandemic has been reported to cause higher bid prices attributed to supply and demand issues. The shortage of some supplies have resulted in record cost growth in materials such as steel, as mentioned, and lumber. And the pandemic has also affected the industry's ability for caring, providing health and safety. And there's also material delays and fluctuating material prices. Next slide, please. With the current bid price, the total project cost for Project 23A is now $22,040,252. In May 2017, a task order number 9 was executed by IUA and Watermaster to implement the planning, design, and construction of the 23A project. An amendment to this task order is recommended to account for the increase in the total project costs. In addition to the increase of the total project costs, awarded grant funding to the 23A has also changed since the initial execution of Task Order 9. On June 19th, the project was awarded $740,000 from the United States Bureau of Reclamation, and IUA was able to secure an additional $1.5 million of available grants from the State Water Resource Control Board. Thus, the total available grant funds to the 23A project is currently up to $10.8 million from the task order's $8.5 million. With the adjusted total project cost of $22.1 million and the secured grants of $10.8 million, Watermaster's share is updated to $10.8 million from the task order's initial amount of $7.5 million. Next slide, please. With these adjusted dollars to the 23A project, the impact to the overall costs and grants towards the 23A to the 2013 RMPU program is shown in the following table. About $34.5 million is the total RMPU cost to date. $16.1 million is the total cost of available grants for the RMPU project. In calculating the melded unit costs with the current total RMPU budget, the stormwater cost to Watermaster is now approximately $469 per acre feet annually, which is still below the $612 per feet annually unit cost thresholds, implementing new recharge improvements as established by the 2013 RMPU Steering Committee. If the melded unit cost includes grant funding, the stormwater cost is further reduced to about $280 per acre feet. Next slide, please. So this concludes IUA and Water Master's discussion on the increased project costs and the added grant funding towards the 23A project and the recommended amendment to task order number 9, which allows for further implementation of the project into the final phase, the construction of the planned and designed improvements. Thank you, and I will now yield the remaining time to Justin Nakano for questions.
Hey, thank you, Joel. Is there any questions for Joel? Okay, I'm hearing no questions on this item. I know the recommendation is to recommend that advisory committee approve this item. Do we need to do a approval from appropriate pool, or just with no comments, just push it to the advisory?
Mr. Chairman, it would be helpful for us to write a staff report to have a sense from the appropriate pool on what the preference of the pool is.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion on this item to give direction to Water Master staff?
I'm sorry, what was the request that we ask for Water Master to write a staff report?
No, this item's going to go to the advisory committee for approval. So Water Master is asking if the appropriate poll is in agreement with moving this to advisory for approval. That's my understanding.
Yeah, John, this is Scott Burton with Ontario. I would recommend that we recommend approval to the advisory committee.
Hey, thank you, Scott. So that's...
I'll second. It's Chris Birch.
Chris Birch, second. Okay, so should we do a vote on this to be official? If that's direction you'd like.
That's always helpful. That'd be good. Yep, thank you.
So Anna, can you please do a vote, roll call vote for us?
Absolutely. Okay, so this is roll call vote for the business item 2A, the first amendment to task order number 9. Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water Company, CalMat Company, City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig, yes.
City of Chino.
Dave Crosley, yes.
Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Yes.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Yes.
Fontana Water Company.
Yes.
City of Fontana. Golden State Water Company. Harupa Community Services District.
Yes.
Marigold Mutual Water Company. Monta Vista Irrigation.
Yes.
Monta Vista Water District.
Yes.
NCL Company. Niagara Bottling. Nicholson Family Trust.
Yes.
City of Norco. City of Ontario.
Yes.
City of Pomona.
Yes.
San Antonio Water Company.
Yes.
County of San Bernardino. Santa Ana River Water Company.
Yes.
City of Upland.
Yes.
West End Consolidated Water Company.
Yes.
West Valley Water District. Okay, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. So let's move on to item B, local storage limitation solution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to bring this to the appropriate pool committee for its advice and assistance to the advisory committee. The concept as described in the staff report is for the purpose of moving local storage forward and finding a solution to the limitation that's coming on June 30 is that Water Master Board would file a proposed motion with the court. And that proposed motion would essentially, the intention is to preserve all the provisions of the peace agreement as they exist today and as they apply to the first 500,000 acre feet of storage, and make the same provisions applicable to amounts over 500,000 acre feet as evaluated in the addendum. So that would be up to 700,000 acre feet to the year 2030, and then up to 620,000 acre feet to the year 2035. We understand that there has been a significant effort by the parties to move forward with a peace agreement amendment. And at the same time, while that can still go on, in the event that it doesn't conclude successfully by June 30, the proposed order provides an avenue that protects the local resource that's in storage and also protects the arguments for and against anybody has. And so it doesn't harm anyone's position while providing the benefit of protecting storage. The proposed order that would go from the Water Master Board to the court would have five main points. Those 5 points were included in the staff report are summarized in, again, pages 142 and 143. The first one, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. The first one is that all the provisions of the peace agreement for storage stay intact and then are extended beyond the 500,000 acre feet. The second is that rules and regulations would be conformed to be consistent with the order. The third one, as expressed in the staff report, actually we received some very helpful feedback on that, and we would propose a slight wording change to accommodate the concern that was expressed. The third bullet suggests that Water Master would amend the OBMP implementation plan to conform with this order and other court orders in the addendum. And we would propose for that to be changed, since Water Master cannot amend the party's implementation plan. It would be amended to be Water Master will implement the OBMP so that it conforms with this order. And we think that is responsive to the comments that we received. Finally, the fourth bullet is that all parties' rights and remedies are expressly reserved and protected. And of course, the fifth bullet, the court reserves jurisdiction to consider future proposals. So the opportunity for the parties and Water Master to continue to evaluate how the basin is managed and come back to court. So with that, Mr. Chairman and members of the appropriative pool, we're looking for any advice and assistance that you have that we can capture and offer to the advisory committee next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. We do have this item on our closed session for today for discussion. If there's any comments or questions right now, we have for Peter. If not, we can discuss it in closed session and then come out and offer advice and assistance to the Water Master.
Mr. Chair, Justin with Monta Vista.
Go ahead, Justin.
Just two comments. One, very much appreciate this proposal from Water Master. Also appreciate the amendment to that third bullet. Very much appreciate that. The only question I had was, is this proposed process, it seems very similar to what was done for the first addendum to the PEIR for the peace agreement. And I was just wondering if that is that a correct impression that it is consistent with how the first addendum was handled. Does that question make sense, Peter? I'm sorry if it's inelegant.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The faithful answer to you is I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't remember us taking anything to court back then, so I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Any other members of the pool? Okay, thank you, Peter.
Sure.
Move on to item C, fiscal year 2021-2022 proposed budget.
All right. Joe Joswag, our CFO, has a brief introduction to this item.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Mr. Bosler. Good morning, members of the appropriative pool. Today, we have a staff report that's been included in the pool packages on page 144 through 161, detailing the proposed fiscal year 2021-22 budget. The proposed budget was distributed to the advisory committee in March, and so far we've had two workshops which were held in April. Several questions regarding specifically focused on the Water Master process of carryover funding have been received. Those questions and answers have been posted to the website. On April 16th, a corrected version of the budget was posted, showing an amount of $312,166 of carryover funding being removed from the budget. This dollar amount was inadvertently included in the engineering services budget. The proposed budget of $8,249,309 compared to last year's amended budget of $8,660,055. Based on the estimated production, this budget will result in $59.32 per acre foot for the assessment, which is compared to last year's $82 per acre foot for the assessment. In anticipation of the three pools having questions today, which we probably cannot answer thoroughly, we have scheduled workshop number three for next Tuesday, May 18th at 1 p.m. For today, we have the same presentation that was shown at the two workshops, and we certainly at this point can review it with the pool, or if you prefer, we can focus on a very specific area. Staff's recommendation for today is to recommend advisory committee approval of the proposed budget.
Thank you, Joe. I do know that we have a closed session on this item too to discuss. Is there any pool members that would like to ask Joe a question before we discuss it in closed session? Hearing none. It's awful quiet for 48 people on the phone, but.
So what was the time of that meeting again, please? You're on mute, Joe.
Sorry. It is scheduled for 1 p.m. next Tuesday, May 18th.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and thank you, Joe, for setting that up. It is appreciated. We'll probably be using that meeting.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm hearing no questions right now from the pool. So I think we'll go through our closed session, review it, and then come out and be ready for you next Tuesday. Okay, thank you, Joe. Okay, let's move on to item D, overlying agricultural pool expenses paid by overlying non-agricultural pool.
Mr. Chairman, Joe Joswiak also has an introduction to this item. You do have a staff report on this, but Joe will just put some context to it. Joe?
Thank you, Peter. A staff report has been included in the pool package for today. That staff report is located on pages 162 through 174. Since fiscal year 2004-2005, members of the overlying non-agricultural pool have paid a portion of the overlying agricultural pool expenses, totaling $107,554.38. This amount should have been paid by the appropriated pool members pursuant to the peace agreement. The overlying non-agricultural pool is requesting that those monies be reimbursed. And for today, Water Master is requesting that the appropriative pool provide direction regarding the overlying ag pool's request.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Do we have any comments from the pool?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Crosley.
Go ahead, Dave.
Is this item also something that may be discussed in closed session by the pool committee?
We certainly can. I'm not sure if, pool members have an idea on a proposal to do or timing on this item. That's something we have not discussed yet.
Well, I would suggest that we consider this item in our closed session discussion this morning. And as a result of that closed session discussion, if we have questions or comments for Watermaster staff, they would be provided after the closed session.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Anybody else in the pool? Okay, hearing none. Okay, we will also get back to Watermaster on this item as well after closed session. Okay, thank you. Okay, our next items are reports and updates. We'll start with A, legal counsel.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the pool committee. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. A handful of relatively brief updates. First, on the San Bernardino County Superior Court emergency order, the court continues to be open. We are grateful to Judge Reichert on how willing he is and how available he's made himself and his court to us for hearings and meetings during the pandemic here. There are continue to be restrictions on the hours of the courtroom, particularly the filing windows. And we are working with the court on finding a way to continue moving forward while those restrictions are in place. Secondly, the April 30th hearing, at that time, the court heard addressed a number of issues. First, it entered orders granting Watermaster's request for the court to receive and file the semi-annual OBMP status report 2020-2. And also entered an order granting Watermaster's request for the court to approve the intervention of Richard Anderson into the ag pool. The court heard a further status update on the status of the local storage limitation solution. The court continues to hear our updates and is working with us toward the June 25th hearing date, where we'll hope to have court approval of a mechanism to implement the local storage limitation solution. In regard to the timeframe for that June 25th hearing, the Watermaster board meeting is 29 days before that June hearing. And so the court, understanding that Watermaster would like to have the ability to have its regular board meeting and potentially have the board take action in regard to that June hearing, the court ordered that a motion could be served at the end of the day of the May 27th board meeting, and filed with the court on May 28th, and still be considered timely for the court's consideration at the June 25th hearing. That's one day less than the 30 days provided for in paragraph 15 of the judgment. In regard to the motion of the appropriative pool member agencies regarding the ag pool legal and other expenses, the court ordered that the ag pool might file a brief on the issue of the applicability of the court's February 19, 1998 order. And that brief is to be served no later than 4 p.m. tomorrow, filed with the court no later than noon on Monday. And any responsive briefs to that brief shall be served no later than 4 p.m. next Friday, filed with the court no later than noon on May 24th. The court will hear those briefs and hear that issue on May 28, 1:30 p.m., the hearing that's on calendar for that day. The court also allowed that the moving parties on that appropriative pool member's motion may file or submit a proposed order for the court's consideration at the hearing. And for the convenience of the parties, Watermaster, when it provided notice of the rulings from the April 30 hearing, provided copies of the February 1998 order, as well as a December 1997 report and recommendation of the special referee that's incorporated by reference into that 1998 order. Watermaster attach those to his notice of rulings from the April 30th hearing. As I mentioned, there is a May 28th hearing on calendar. At that time, the court will hear a further update on the local storage limitation solution. We'll have the benefit of the Water Master Board meeting that will be held a day before. And the court will also consider the briefing on the appropriated pool members' motion regarding the ag pool expenses and the applicability of that 1998 order that the Ag Pools Council cited. Finally, our Kaiser Permanente lawsuit continues to sort of slowly move forward while remaining in park at the same time. There is no trial date that's been set. The next time we'll see the judge on that is July 26th. We have a trial setting conference. We continue to have a back and forth discussion with the plaintiffs on refining what their claims are. You might recall that back in January, the court sustained Water Master's demurrer as to the plaintiff's inverse condemnation cause of action and allowed the plaintiffs to further refine and to correct their pleading. There's been a back and forth discussion among counsel for the defendants and counsel for the plaintiffs about whether they have been able to properly address those deficiencies. And the plaintiffs have filed an ex parte application to be heard by the court next Monday, where they're asking to be allowed to file a fourth amended complaint. So I know that was quite a bit. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take those now.
Thank you, Brad. Any questions for Brad?
Mr. Chair, this is Scott Burton with Ontario.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Brad. Just one question for you, and I'm not sure if it's even related to one of those four or the previous item we talked about, but for the Water Master proposal on storage, understand it's going to be considered by the board with advice from advisory and perhaps filed in later this month. The question is, when do you think that the parties, especially the parties working on the amendment to the peace agreement, when do you think we'll see the actual document that Water Master plans on filing?
We will be taking feedback that we hear today and putting together a draft resolution that the board might adopt at its meeting at the end of the month. That would be included in the materials that would go to the advisory committee next week.
Okay, so just make sure I understand. So there's a resolution, but then there's the actual document that would be filed to the court. So next week at advisory, we would see both of those documents or just the resolution?
I'm not sure which. You'd certainly see the resolution. There would be a proposed order that is basically described in today's staff letter, the five components. So there'd mm-hmm. be a proposed order that's consistent with that would eventually be filed with the court. And then there would be our motion. We wouldn't be in a place to file a motion until we have the benefit of everything that's happened throughout the month leading up to the filing date. So I'm not sure whether you're referring to, in addition to the resolution, the proposed order or what Water Master's motion would look like.
So I guess I'm asking about the proposed order because I'm assuming the proposed order, that's what gets filed with the court. And then if the court acts on that, that's what would be enforceable. So that, I think I'm talking about that.
We can work to have a proposed order that would be with the draft resolution for the advisory committee next week. The outline of what the proposed order would look like, at least in concept before your feedback today, is in the staff letter.
Okay. Yeah. There's a difference between, an outline or resolution of what the proposed order is going to say and actually seeing the proposed order. So I would just suggest that the sooner we can see that the proposed order and the actual language that will go to the judge, I think the better.
Okay. And Mr. Burton, for your benefit, Water Master staff and in this process are not, we're hoping to bring something forward that has the support of the all the parties. And so we're not trying to keep anything secret or not involve anyone who wants to be involved in the process of putting this together. So if we will work toward having something that the advisory committee can review next week, and we'll be in touch with the parties and their council as we move forward to make sure they have time to review it and give their input.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Brad. That sounds good.
Any other questions for Brad? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Brad. So let's move on to the engineer report.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Andy Malone. We just have one item for you today and a short presentation. The item is the 2020 State of the Basin Report. And the topic this month is groundwater levels. Just a little background that you've heard before, but pursuant to the peace agreement and the November 15th, 2001 court order, Watermaster prepares a State of the Basin report, and it does this once every 2 years. And the purpose of the report is to describe the current physical state of the basin in terms of its hydrology, groundwater production and recharge, groundwater levels, groundwater quality, and land subsidence are the main topics of the report. The report also describes how the basin has changed during the implementation of the OBMP, which started in the year 2000. So this report this year is a 20-year check-in on implementation of the OBMP and its effects on the physical state of the basin. The report is due by June 30th at the end of the fiscal year. These last 3 months of the fiscal year, we're taking the opportunity to present to you and the board the various sections of the report. Last month, Sadavi and Lauren from our office gave presentations on the hydrologic condition of the basin and groundwater production and recharge. And this month we have Emily McCord from our staff who will be giving a presentation on groundwater levels and groundwater level changes. And for those of you who don't know Emily, she's our staff scientist in charge of running our field programs. So you may have seen her in the field. She's also been preparing these groundwater level maps of the Chino Basin with me for several years now. And it's also just a real treat to hear Emily play the violin, but sorry, today we're talking groundwater levels. So with that introduction, Emily, are you ready for your presentation?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much, Andy. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Appropriative Pool. It's lovely to talk to you all today. Next slide, please. So this is just an overview of the state of the basin. I think Andy covered everything in this slide for you, but like Andy said, today I'm just going to go over groundwater levels with you. Next slide, please. So this map shows an overview of the Chino Basin groundwater level monitoring program. So all of the circles in this map here are wells, and they're symbolized by the frequency of monitoring that Watermaster does. So the blue wells here are measured monthly by Watermaster staff. The red wells are measured every 15 minutes by downwell equipment. And all the green wells are measured by well owners at various frequencies and then collected by Watermaster staff and uploaded to a central database. So there are a lot of wells in Watermaster's monitoring program. There are about 1,400 wells in the program here. And all of the data collected supports the various program elements of the OBMP, such as Watermaster's modeling studies, the maximum benefit, ground level management program, the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Program, and material physical injury analyses. Next slide, please. This is a map of the spring 2020 groundwater elevation contours for the basin. And we drew these contours using data from the monitoring program shown in the previous slide. And groundwater flow is perpendicular to the contours here. So you can see that regional groundwater flow is primarily to the south-southwest in the basin, with some local depressions in the groundwater surface. We draw these contours every 2 years, and then we use them to create a map of groundwater elevation for the entire basin that we can then use to subtract from each other to show change in the basin for groundwater levels. Next slide, please. This map is a map of groundwater elevation change from the year 2000, when the OBMP was first implemented, to the year 2020. So 20 years of groundwater elevation change. The green areas of the map are areas where groundwater levels have increased, and the red areas are areas where groundwater levels have decreased. Generally across the basin, groundwater levels have increased in the west and decreased in the east and to the south around the Desalter well field. And these changes are consistent with the objectives of the OBMP and the peace agreement. So in the west, we have an objective to manage land subsidence. And so the increase there is consistent with that objective. And the decrease around the Desalter well field is consistent with our objective of achieving hydraulic control and maintaining the yield of the basin. Next slide, please. This is a very similar map to the previous map. It is another map of groundwater elevation change. This is for the last 2 years instead of the whole 20-year period. So in the last 2 years, groundwater levels have changed less than 10 feet across most of the basin. And the changes that we do see are consistent with recent trends in pumping and recharge. In the State of the Basin report, we'd look at these trends in pumping and recharge in a time series, along with groundwater elevations across the different management zones. So I'm going to show you a map of that, of an example of one of those charts for management zone 2, which is in the center of the basin here. Next slide, please. So this is the chart I was mentioning. So we can see here, this is about 50 years of groundwater level change. The top graph here is groundwater level change from wells that were chosen to regionally represent management zone 2. And the bottom graph shows pumping, recharge, and cumulative departure from the mean for precipitation. So in the bottom graph, recharge is in blue, production is in orange, and the cumulative departure from the mean precipitation is the dotted line there. So as you can see, generally, groundwater levels decrease with increase of pumping and increase with an increase of recharge. And if you could go back to the previous slide. So this chart was for management zone 2, which is in the center of the basin here. The management zones are denoted by the dark red lines. So you can see the black dots here are the wells that we chose to represent this management zone for this chart. And in the north of the basin, you can see that there's a decrease in groundwater levels right around wells, the Cucamonga Valley Water District wells, CVWD3 and CVWD5. So if you go forward, next slide, please. So you can see these two wells that I pointed out are in the top chart. They're the blue and the red lines at the bottom. And you can see just in the last year, they do show a decrease like we're seeing in that general area. And it corresponds to an increase in pumping that we're seeing. So we can look at these trends and look at the how groundwater levels are affected and what they're affected by. Next slide, please. Okay, so that concludes our presentation on section 4 of the State of the Basin. Does anyone have any questions?
Hey, thank you for your presentation. Do we have any questions from the poll? Okay, you're lucky they're quiet today.
Well, thanks everyone. Next month, we will be coming back with the final presentation on groundwater quality.
Okay, thank you, Andy. I just hope the pool is not saving everything for closed session. But anyway. I'm hungry already. All right. Let's move on to where we at. The item C, Chief Financial Officer Report. So we get Joe again.
Thank you again. Seems like it is my show today. Well, I appreciate that. There was a request by the appropriative pool for pool 1 and 3 budget information, along with some questions in regards to reserve and the Water Master admin reserve accounting detail. We've got about a 6 or 7 page slide presentation that we'd like to walk through. Janine, if you could go ahead and start, please. Thank you. There was a specific request that was forwarded over to Mr. Harima in regards to 5 specific questions. There was an email that was emailed out to Mr. Slater, Mr. Fudak, Mr. Schatz, and also Ms. Goskew answering these questions. But we did also want to make sure that the entire pool does have the information. So for fiscal year 1920, the first question was, what was invoiced by the overlying ag pool for legal services last year? The dollar amount in account 8467 was $529,008.75. Question number 2, what was the amount for its account 8460? What was the amount for its account 8467 approved by the overlying ag pool? And account 8467 is the ag legal and technical services. Basically, that's the expenses paid directly to Ms. Agostio. So the budget last year was $300,000. The budget was increased to cover the full amount of the $529,000. A budget transfer of $63,314 was done based upon the ag pool's instructions. So we basically moved account the money of $63,314 from account 8471, which is their special fund account, to the legal account. And then Water Master was directed by the board to invoice the appropriate pool for the remainder of the $165,694.75. Question number 3. What was paid to the overlying ag pool for expenses last fiscal year? The question and answer is $529,008.75. Question number 4, what was escrowed last year? The escrow account was established for the appropriate pool in September 2020. Basically, the funding of that account, if you recall, as I just mentioned, we had a difference between the actual amount of $529,000 from the $363,000, and that difference is $165,000. We did invoice the appropriate pool for $165,000. The payments, and I want to make sure that I make this perfectly clear, payments were received with escrow instructions, that was $161,070. Payments received without specific escrow instructions were $4,624.66. Combining those two gets you the $165,694.75. So the escrow account was funded with that original amount of $161,070.09, and year to date as of March, we've earned $150.05. So the escrow account is $161,220.14. And then finally, what was withheld last fiscal year? The amount that was withheld last fiscal year was what is actually in the escrow account of $161,070.09. Next slide, please. Thank you, Janine. This slide basically asks the exact same questions as the previous slide, with the exception of instead of 1920, this is fiscal year 2021. So what has been invoiced by the overlying ag pool this fiscal year up through March 31st, there has been $352,165 booked against account 8467. Question number two, what was the amount for account 8467 approved by the overlying ag pool? That dollar amount is $500,000. What has been paid this fiscal year? The amount paid this year has been $352,165. There have, and this as you read through here, while $352,165 has been paid, it's not all been paid directly from the normal Water Master funds. And this is where it gets challenging. We did invoice $500,000. Of that $500,000, $384,736.12 still remains outstanding on the books. So if you take the $500,000 that was invoiced minus the $384,000, that leaves you with what was collected of $115,263.88. In November, when all of this happened, we had paid to date $217,821. So the difference between what we paid, the $217,000 less the $115,000 that was collected, leaves a balance of $102,557.12. That money was pulled from the Water Master cash reserves. And this amount will need to be refunded back to Water Master. Question number four, what was escrowed this fiscal year? The dollar amount, no additional funds have been placed. The dollar amount for the escrow account is $161,070. And then finally, what was withheld this fiscal year? The dollar amounts that's still outstanding, there's seven appropriate pool members that have not paid the original $500,000 invoice. The dollar amount there is still outstanding, $384,736.12. And I understand that is a lot of numbers bouncing back and forth. I can understand if someone is a little bit confused. Sometimes it gets very confusing for me as we have so many different numbers bouncing around. And I hope provides some, a little bit better understanding of where we're at.
Well, if it's confusing for you, Joe, we're in trouble. The rest of us are in trouble. There's no way we can. Yeah, I thought I understood it until you went over this, and I'm like confused now, but no, I'm kidding. Thank you.
I think that the biggest challenge for me is trying to keep both fiscal years separate because there was so much activity that happened in July and August and September timeframe, which, you know, normally the 1920 would have already been closed. So that's kind of where it's kind of in between the two fiscal years and things just seem to flow together. So I've got it covered, not to worry.
Okay, thank you. Let's test this, Joe. Any questions for Joe on this?
We do have a couple more slides.
We do, okay.
Maybe we'll let Joe run through it. We added some material beyond these questions to help you. It's along the line of teach a man to fish. We wanted to help you be able to find answers to your questions on your own. A little more effectively. So Joe has a couple more things to cover.
Thank you, Janine. Next slide, please. So basically, discussing the challenges between fiscal year 1920 and 2021. What we're showing on this slide, and let's specifically look at fiscal year 2021. So we had an approved budget of $300,000 for the overlying ag pool legal services, and then $85,000 for their special project. So that totals $385,000. As I had mentioned earlier, there was an increase to the budget of $200,000 And then we now have an amended budget of $500,000 for Ag Pool Legal, $85,000 for special projects. So that's $585,000. And we're looking at, now looking forward, where do I think we're going to be at June 30th? The Ag Pool Legal right now is tracking very close to budget. So I'm expecting that we're going to be right at the $500,000. And then as far as the special projects, we have received invoices to date for the TMDL study of $18,484,000. So looking at that, Janine, could you? Okay. So I'm not seeing it exactly on my screen, but there should be about a $66,000 an amount left over estimated at this fiscal year. And for last year, fiscal year 1920, you can see that we started with a budget for the two accounts of $385,000. We transferred in $63,314 from the special projects. We also invoiced, as I mentioned before, $165,694. So that brought the amended budget to $529,008, which is the exact amount of what the invoices were. We had the special project expenses TMDL study booked of $21,686. So our actual budget of $550,694.75 is the exact amount of what was expensed. Are there any questions in regards to this item? And we've got basically about three more slides to go.
I know, Scott, it sounded like you had a question. Are you covered, or?
You know, I think I'd prefer just to let Joe finish and then see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Janine, next slide, please. Now, this is a copy of the financial report, which we call the B3 report. This report, if at any time you wanted to see exactly where your dollar amounts are, you can see this. This is a Water Master's attempt at producing a very detailed income statement. So let me slice and dice some of these columns. So if you look on the far left-hand side, you'll see these are all of the account descriptions. The first column there, you'll see Water Master Administration. The second column is Optimum Basin Management. The next three columns, you'll see that's where we capture and record the pool administration. So the first column there, appropriative pool, that's where you would see all of the expenses allocated directly to the appropriative pool. The next column is expenses allocated directly to the ag pool. And then the next column next to that, to the right, the non-ag pool. So if you wanted to see specifically any expenses charged to those pools, you would see that. And then next to those three, you'll see the AP escrow account. So let's focus, and then down at the bottom, you'll see some different colored blocks. Let's focus on the AP escrow account. So you'll see that basically as of March 31st, the escrow account circled in red there, $161,220. And you can see in the columns that we added $161,070 along with interest of $150. So that's where the AP escrow account. So at any point in time that you want to know what the escrow account is, the balance, you can simply come to this B3 report that's produced every month in the financial package, and you can see the dollars there. Now let's take a quick look at the items there highlighted in purple. That is the ag pool. So you can see that the agricultural pool started with $515,498 in their account. And with the expenses coming in and out, you'll see that the dollar amount remaining right now is $213,428. And then finally, we do have some refunds that we did during the assessment period in November. And those are the items highlighted there in blue. So you'll see that we had 132,666 refunded and the a refund of 107,000. So anytime that we do any refunds through the assessment process, you'll see that these show up here. So again, if you're any time that you're looking to try to get a good handle of where specific pool expenses are, the B3 report is your best place to look. Next slide, please. Now, this is a direct copy of the page from page 62 of the pool packet. Janine, if I could have you click one more. That is a little bit difficult to see, so I've copied page 62 on a little bit of a better screenshot here. Our commitment that we made to the pools was that starting in March that we would provide fund balances for the three pools so that everyone has an understanding of where their specific pool balance is for their legal services fund account. So at the top here, you'll see this is for the agricultural pool. So their beginning balance as of July 1st was zero. If you recall, we had 529,000 collected, 529,000 paid. So their balance starting the year was zero. They had 115,000 collected. We used admin reserve, as I mentioned before, of 102. So that gets us to the 217,000. They have paid out of their specific fund 134,000. So the combination of those two amounts is the 352,165, which I had mentioned before is what we have paid to date. The invoices paid July through November, that was 217,000. So you can see up on the top how that 217,000 collected matches to the 217 paid. And then invoices paid for December 2020 through March is 134,003. And that's coming directly from their fund account. So you can see basically what we've collected by 352,000 versus what we paid, 352,000 leaves. So at this stage right now, the ag pool balance, what they've collected is what they've paid. If you look now to the table on the right-hand side, this specifically talks to their reserve fund. So remember on B3, we showed the beginning balance of 515,498. This table shows how that balance has been reduced down to the 213. So you can see we have the escrow amounts, what was paid 165 versus what had escrow instructions, which did not. The 4,624 did not have escrow instructions. So that went to the ag pool fund. To date through March, they have earned interest of $1,793. So that brings their addition 6,400. Then we start looking at the reduction. So they've had an actual budget shortfall from last year of 165,000. Those invoices were paid directly out of their fund. Then they had the mediation invoice paid of 8,400, again, paid directly out of their fund. And then the invoices paid December through March for 134,000. So all of the reductions, 308,000, brings their total down to 213. If you look at that balance on B3, you'll see the exact same dollar amount, 213,000. The non-agricultural pool, the next item down there to the bottom, their balance is captured under count 8567. So their beginning balance in July was 23,301. Their assessment which was assessed and paid in November, $75,000. They've had invoices booked from July through March of $39,000. So their current balance right now is $59,278.55. And again, this information will always, going forward, will be part of the B5 report, which is shown in the financial. So at any time, anyone that has any questions, if you're an agricultural pool member and want to know what your balance is, you'll be able to see it in the B5. If you're a member of the non-agricultural pool, you'll be able to find that in the B5 report. And Janine, if you click one more slide. The appropriative pool information on the pool packet is found on page 63. And Janine, one more click. So that is clear for everyone to see. The appropriative pool fund account is their legal services is captured under account 8367. So you'll see it's very similar to the other two pools. Their beginning balance of July 1st, $33,788. The assessed amount on November 19th was $130,000. You increased your budget on February 19th when we invoiced for another $135,000. So the cash invoiced and received is $265,000. The reductions, so invoices issued and collected from Mr. Schatz for July 2020 through January 21 is $148,108. We have accrued 2 months of invoices for February and March, which have not been paid. That's just an accounting entry to make sure that we do have expenses there of $40,000. So the subtotal reductions is $188,000, which then basically leaves your fund balance as of March, $110,680. And again, similar to all three pools, this information will be provided in the B5 report so that at any point in time, all three pools know exactly where their legal fund balance is. And I believe one more click, I think that takes care of, and Mr. Burton, I think you had a question for me.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. It's like, how could anybody have questions after that?
I was going to ask Joe if he could repeat it all and go back to the beginning. I got lost.
Not a problem. I can do that.
No, Joe. It's okay.
So Joe, one of the things it sounds like is that in order to provide, you know, more transparency, there's new accounting information being provided on a monthly basis that kind of shows the balances you just went over. Or is that existing? That's always been there in the package.
No, it's the B3 financial report has always been there. What is new are the tables that I was showing you in page 62 and 63.
Okay.
Historically, what I have always done is every quarter I would provide each three pools their information. So, and let's speak specifically for the for the appropriative pool. I would normally send the pool leadership every quarter their fund balance. And the reason I do that is I never want to have a pool get to a situation where they don't have money to pay their attorneys. Since it's not a Watermaster budget, since it's an activity done by the pool, it's really the pool's responsibility to ensure that there's money there. So I would normally just send an email out every quarter.
Okay.
This way we don't have to send emails every quarter. Everybody knows what the balance is. So there shouldn't be any delays or issues with, and not that there were, but this way as transparency, everyone knows what the balances are.
Yeah, no, that's great. I won't ask too many questions. I can always follow up afterwards, but can you back up to, a couple of slides back, I think it's where it shows the, go back another one, one more. So yeah, so this one here, and I can appreciate that this has gotten confusing just with the current you know, dispute between the two pools on legal expenses. And I get that. I think I understand the balance for the ag reserve. The asterisk there, that 102, you mentioned on a, earlier in the presentation that that would have to be paid back. And I'm assuming that that can't be paid back until we have resolution on this dispute. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. So I understood that. And then the question is, it looks like this year there was no ins or outs on the escrow account that was set up by the appropriate pool this fiscal year.
That is correct. The only thing that is in that escrow account right now is each month it earns about $30 a month in interest.
Okay. So I understood that. And it almost looks like there's a different, well, I guess the question is, that's from that 102 was paid from not one of the pool's reserves, but I guess Watermaster has its own reserve account. And the question is, what was the thinking, or what was the reason that some money was paid from that reserve, but it looks like that number is fixed at this point?
It's simply a timing difference. Remember that during the period of November is when we do the assessments. Mm-hmm. We had assessed $609,900 for the agricultural pool for all of their expenses. Mm-hmm. So of that $609,000, $500,000 was legal. Of the $500,000, we expected and had full confidence that the appropriate pool would pay that full amount as they have done in the past. This year, there was $384,000 that was not paid. So during the month of November, we were issuing payments to the agricultural pool attorney, not knowing that come December, there was going to be some invoices not paid. So as we were in the month of November, we, as we always do, issue payments against what we expect to collect. When we get into the December time period, that's when we went, "Ooh, stop, time out. We haven't collected all of the money. There was a shortfall." And that shortfall happened in November, which is the $102,000.
Okay, so that would explain the switch over to, after that, to funding ag pool legal invoices from the ag pool reserve?
Yes.
Okay, and I would just, you know, make the point that one could have also assumed that the appropriate pool would want to add more money to escrow, but that's neither here nor there at this point. The only other thing I have, I think, for this pool to think about and Watermaster is, as we're headed into the next, you know, budget year, the source of some of this, which you've done a wonderful job on the accounting, but the source of it is this dispute, not resolved yet. And so what assumption would Watermaster make as we head into July? You know, same thing as you said, assessments, you know, will come out in November, and you know, how is Watermaster going to know how to handle that for the first 5 months of next fiscal year?
You know, that's a good question. It's a question for everyone to ponder. You know, there's we need to wait and see what happens until then. At this point, as Joe has explained, as you see on the screen, the fund balance for ag legal is zero. Mm-hmm. And our tack for now, and I imagine for the future, is that as long as there's no money to pay with, then every month the agricultural pool is presented with a question of where would you like the money to come from? And their only choice right now is their reserve fund. Mm-hmm. So that is something that would have to be resolved as you hopefully move forward and resolve your dispute.
Right. And I guess the assumption Watermaster made this year that the funds would be coming in from the appropriative pool, you know, there probably needs to be some mechanism of you know, communication on that. Otherwise if the same pattern repeats itself, then that asterisk there with 102 would be increased by whatever was paid in the first few, you know, 5 months of next fiscal year. So what's confusing to me at this point is we have pool budgets, and the way I understand it now, the way Water Master is administering is we have pool budgets, but those are not or will not, as we approve next fiscal year's budget, those will not be part of what the advisory committee is approving. And if that's the intent, it should be clear in what we're approving. You know, perhaps it's a separate document, or those are separate. But and then when you get to assessments, my understanding is that last year, well, let me say, I think historically assessments for the appropriate pool and non-ag pool were not part of the assessment package. And then for this fiscal year, ag pool assessments were also not part of it. So it feels like we have a pool budgets that aren't part of what we approve through Water Master and the advisory committee and the board. And now we have assessments for the same things that are not part of that approval. And it feels really, really loose. And I'm just concerned that, and I'm not, Peter, I'm not asking for us to figure it out today, but I'm concerned that it's important that we all understand how that's working moving forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, our thinking is that the way it was in the past, in light of the dispute, is not the way that is going to be in the future. And so what you see on the screen is the creation truly of a fund accounting that is out, open, and transparent for each of the three pools. Like Joe said, he always treated the funds as special, the funds, not in terms of the monies, but the funds themselves, like the appropriative pool fund, as a fund that was replenished and drawn from and eventually depleted and then needed to be replenished. And for the appropriative pool, that started during the fiscal year, and money was added in during the assessment process. And then if it was enough during the year, then it was enough. If not, it was supplemented. In the past, the agricultural pool had its budget. It was replenished during the assessment process. And we did not treat it as, we didn't have a need to, and didn't treat it as a separate fund that had to be tracked until it became an issue. And so what you see going forward is that too will be kept of a track of as a fund, as you see here, and it has a zero balance. Our view, as you know, is that the advisory committee gets to approve Water Master's budget. The pool committees get to review and approve their own budgets. So there's a temporal issue for the agricultural pool is that their fund right now has zero. And right now, unless we are told otherwise by the two pools, we don't have any money coming in to pay any of their bills. And we're not going to pay against the zero balance. We don't do that. So the next logical step would be what happens in November. Again, unless the pools come up with a different solution, meaning the appropriative pool and the agricultural pool come up with some different way to add money to the ag pool's legal expense fund. Absent that, come next fall, well, I'd have to think about it, but and that's your point, but I think maybe even before the fall, in July, we would bring up the question to the pools like we did last year. Mm-hmm. Here is the ag pool's legal expense budget, and then bring up the question of invoicing separately and go from there.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking. There's, you know, and this is really, this work is a good job at responding to a changing circumstances. And I think now we can look ahead and anticipate next year and actually, you know, and maybe it's just for the, my fellow appropriate pool members, you know, maybe it's something we need to think about and talk with the ag pool and think about, you know, how do we, you know, maybe there's a way to, a way that the two groups want to handle this, but I'm not suggesting there is, but there's got to be communication, whether it's between those pools and or Watermaster. Otherwise, it seems like Joe's not going to know how to pay the bills come the start of next fiscal year, or at least when the default right now is to pay it out of ag pool reserves, but it looks like there's 213 as of March. That's going to be drawn down. It won't be zeroed out, I don't think, by the end of the fiscal year, but it's I don't think it would, the current rates, it's going to be something for us to figure out in the earlier part of next fiscal year, it would seem.
You're making me think, Scott, it's actually not a fiscal year issue anymore. It's just their fund is out of money. They do have an approved budget they need to move forward with. So it may not even be a July issue. It may be a June issue. It would be helpful to get some thoughts from the appropriative pool. I think conversation between the appropriative pool and the ag pool would be extremely constructive in this regard. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you give us some direction, we would certainly prefer that than scratching our heads trying to figure out which way to go forward. Right.
Because, yeah, I don't think it makes sense to just automatically increase that asterisk number out of Watermaster reserves. Yeah,
that won't happen. As Joe explained, that was only we were in the dark. We had no idea that the appropriate pool parties or some of them wouldn't pay. We did not know until December. And so up until that point, we were just paying bills, assuming that the past would repeat itself.
Well, yeah, but I guess my point before was the recent past, the money was put in escrow. So
we thought about that. That's true. But the escrowed amount was for something that had exceeded their budget. And so we didn't think that that there was going to be additional money put in escrow for something that had been approved by the pool and is there for the entire fiscal year. So, and that's what I mean, it was just the timing was off. In this case, we would not pay a bill using admin reserves. That's not what the admin reserves are for.
Right. And that's part of the oddity here is that when you say approved by the pool, I think you mean ag pool, because the appropriate pool doesn't approve ag pool budget. So there's like this arrangement where it creates uncertainty because the approvals don't seem to be clear. But anyways, the 213 there that shows for ag pool reserves, because I've heard, I think Peter, you and Joe mentioned that the balance is zeroed out, but I want to make sure I understand it's not zeroed out yet. There's still money in the ag pool reserve, but it's being depleted.
So on that, Scott, if you see on the right side of the screen, that is what's left. The 213,000 is in their reserve account. Their account 8467 legal expense has zero money in it.
Okay,
got it. So if we get a bill, we don't automatically go to their 8467 account. We ask Mr. Feenstra, would you like us to use your reserve for this or not?
Got it. That was my confusion. So the budget zeroed out, but they have the option to go to their reserve.
Exactly.
Got it. All right, that was it for me. Hey, Peter and Joe, I really appreciate that, all the work you put into this, because I think it's going to help us avoiding confusion moving forward. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe. Very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Joe and Peter and Scott. Anybody else, or are we ready to move on? And is that all you have, Joe, for your update, for your item?
Yes, sir, that's all I have.
Okay, I hear no further comments, so thank you. I think the next item is the GM report. Yes.
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Okay, pool member comments. Do we have any comments from the pool?
Mr. Chairman, Ron Craig.
Yes, go ahead, Ron.
I know we're going into closed session, but I just wanted to take an opportunity to express on behalf of Chino Hills appreciation to Watermaster staff and legal counsel for putting forward an alternative solution for our skinny storage with the resolution concept. So thank you for that.
And thank you, Ron. Yeah, it was laser focused, I believe, right?
You see it better than me now, John. Thank you.
Any other comments from the pool? Okay, hearing none, any other business for the pool? Okay, hearing none, then we'll go ahead and go into confidential session. Give ourselves 5 to 10 minutes, let's say 10 minutes. So at 10:40, we'll go into closed session. And I believe you all have the separate number to call in on. Okay, thank you. And Anna, we will let you know when we're out.
All right, so coming out of closed session, let me open up my iPad here. So we do have, Anna, 3 items of reportable action. And I will email you separately, but I'll go ahead and read them off for the record.
Fantastic.
Okay, so the first one is business item 2B. The appropriate pool is not opposed to the Watermaster storage solution, but requests that the documents be available for all 3 pools to review prior to the advisory meeting. So that's the first one. The second one is business item 2C on the proposed budget. There is no reportable action. The third one is on business item 2D, and the appropriate pool requests that Watermaster bring this item back next month for possible action and include the specific amount owed by each agency and an explanation of how that was derived. And that's it. Okay, any questions or any, was that clear, Anna?
Yes, thank you, Scott, that is clear.
Okay, very good. And like I said, I'll email it to you. So let's see, last item on the agenda is future meetings at Watermaster, and there, of course.
Scott?
Yes, go ahead, Peter.
Thank you. Just wanted to be clear. We'll bring back on the item 2D, we will bring back to you next month with a specific amount owed by each agency with an explanation. And at that point, would you like us to suggest different methodologies for allocating it? Because that's the direction we're looking from the pool. Or is the pool going to come up with its own methodology, or?
Peter, that's a good question. We would be happy to consider the options that you think make sense. And so that would be helpful. And I think the hope is that there will be action on it next month. And there's just not as part of the reportable action, but as an explanation, just some discussion about wanting to see, understanding this is a complex accounting exercise, just wanting to see the dollar amounts for each agency kind of understand how that was calculated.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions, Peter, on that?
No, I don't know if you've had any communication with the non-ag pool on this. My sense from them is that they wanted some resolution, but we'll just go take it on face that they can wait another month.
I don't have anything else in the way of reportable action. So,
okay, very good. Understood.
But we are in communication with the non-ag pool.
Okay, very good.
Quite a bit. Okay, so if there's nothing else on that, future meetings are listed there on the agenda. And with that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.